Pushkin.
Yeah, turn around, like, U-turn.
Do you know how much of my childhood was spent lost? Basically, this is, we're just recreating my childhood experience. All we did was get lost over and over and over again.
Are you advocating for getting lost?
I love it. It's my favorite thing. Let's just keep exploring. Let's figure it out.
Hello, hello, everyone. Malcolm Gladwell here. Welcome back to another special episode of Revisionist History exclusively for Pushkin Plus subscribers. You're listening to some behind-the-scenes tape from last season when I went on a reporting trip to rural Alabama with my producers, Jacob Smith and Eloise Linton. We may have taken a couple of accidental detours before we made it to our destination, but as you know, I believe that getting lost is one of the great joys of life. Getting lost is a tangent, and you know how I love tangents. Speaking of tangents, just one more road trip story before I get to the point. Not everyone in the car felt the same way as I do about exploring, and I admit I may have taken my go-with-the-flow attitude a little too far on this particular trip. Like when we left a gas station in the middle of nowhere, and after 5 minutes, Jacob and I realized we'd taken off without Eloise.
At least possibly we'd never have seen you again.
If you left me in that gas station,
Eloise, I'm so sorry.
Without my phone.
No phone. I would have called your parents and I would have just said, you know, I don't know, man, like, we're in Alabama and we thought you were in the back seat. Yeah, I don't know how long she lasts. Like, what are you going to do?
Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. She would have been fine. And all three of us eventually did make it to our final destination.
Oh, there's like a bunch of... There's Cargo Screening Canine Alliance.
Well, they have five companies.
I see.
They all each do a
different. Do we know which
specialty.
One we're going to?
We're doing Vaporwake first, but then we might go to the COVID one also.
Oh, they have. Oh, good. They have COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta go to COVID. Oh, this is. Oh, that's fantastic.
Sure.
I want to get into this whole weird idea that diseases have a smell, which I think is just so interesting.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that on the.
Oh yeah, baby. That's right. We're taking you back to our episode on dogs. If you heard The Dog Will See You Now, you already know we're not just talking about any animals. We're talking about specially trained canines who can detect if someone has COVID with just their noses. Our reporting trip took place in June of 2021. The world had been ravaged by a pandemic. It was obvious we needed a better way to stop the spread of COVID. So we turned to the experts.
We were starting to collect clinical samples from people who were confirmed positive, and we were checking the dogs on those clinical samples, and they didn't miss a beat. They were 99% accurate. And at that point, I was very confident that the dogs we were training could detect COVID in people's masks, on their socks, in sweat, in saliva.
While the world is in lockdown in the early summer of 2020, Bill Schneider's lab gets going, synthesizing the proteins that make up the smell of SARS-CoV-2. The trainers start training dogs on it. Hardworking, focused, unflappable dogs who really love the idea of sniffing 9 to 5. That's why we were in Alabama, to visit the Biodetection Center, where a whole cohort of Bill Schneider's colleagues work every day to train dogs to sniff out COVID. Once they are fully trained, these dogs are hired out by companies or organizations to go out in the world and sniff out the virus in the general public. In the original episode, we learned how the center selects and trains dogs. And that training can take months and sometimes even years, beginning at birth. What's better than an elite, perfectly trained biodetection dog? A litter of elite, perfectly trained biodetection puppies. When we first stepped foot on the grounds, we didn't see the full-grown professional canines we'd been expecting. Instead, we were greeted by the sight of three adorable black lab puppies rolling around in their kennels.
These guys are 9 weeks old. They're our B1 litter. Yeah. Each litter is named for the letter of the alphabet.
Yeah.
So we can easily tell who's brother and sisters.
We're hearing the voice of Jean Brock, who gets to run the puppy training program.
The only way to really know the dog that you have is to raise it. because then you know the genetics behind it. You know every experience that puppy's had up until he gets to time to enter his detection training. So there are no surprises down the road. When you buy a dog, usually it's about a year old, and we really don't know what experiences that dog has had.
It turns out you can spot and develop the traits that will make a dog well-suited for detection really early on.
So we try to stimulate them as much as we can. Some days we load up into the van and go places with them, like down the street there's a Lowe's, and we'll take them in Lowe's and just start with low-key environments and then build up to the big environments.
So this puppy's in the Lowe's, he's running along. What are you looking for?
Noises. We gradually expose them to things like loud noises. We do some of that here in the kennel, dropping pans and making a racket so that they're kind of immune to any loud noise startling them. But when we go to places like Lowe's, we look for things that they don't see here. Like in Lowe's, they've got some big flapping plastic on the back door where they drive their trucks in and out. So we'll take them through that. You know, some of them love it. Some of them it startles a little bit. The ones that are startled, what we want to see is, okay, you're startled, but how quickly do you get over it?
These puppies do their doggy boot camp training at Lowe's. And if a puppy can't manage the chaos of a big box store, they're not going to do well in the field. That's not all we learned about, though.
Yeah.
Wait, why are we listening to bagpipes?
That's environmentally, we're preparing the dogs for different noises and different sounds. So we have speaker systems in the kennels that basically what we want to do, and there'll be gunfire and stuff like that.
Air brakes.
Yeah. And you, just all sorts of different things that you'll hear in a minute. You'll hear all of a sudden the machine guns go off. But it's, and like Jeannie said, it's okay that these dogs startle, but what you really want is them to overcome it.
A lot has happened at Biodetection Canine since we went to visit them. For one, the company was recently acquired by another company called Protection One Canine. That company specializes in security dogs. Now they're all part of the same doggy industrial complex. But something else happened. Some of the dogs became roadies. Have you heard of Eric Church, the country music star who has lyrics like,
we recently were part of a Wall Street Journal article, and if you read the article, Eric Church says that having the COVID dogs probably saved the tour. But that all came about because, you know, someone within Eric Church's camp was a revisionist history fan and heard the podcast.
That's Biodetection Canine President Jerry Johnson. You heard him. Revisionist History, this very podcast, is the connector between country music and canines. The dogs are now backstage COVID sniffers, and not just for Eric Church. They're touring with bands including the Black Keys and Metallica, heavy metal canines. To work with these bands, the lucky dogs and their handlers travel on the road with the crew.
How's everybody doing today? Does anybody here mind if I run the COVID dog over them real quick? I'm just going to need you to stand in a single file line and just go ahead and relax your arms down to your side, and the dog will target the left hand. Search.
Good. On the day of the show, Mindy and Lord, two adorable German Shepherd Belgian Malinois, begin work long before the music starts.
So typically, the dogs will show up, depending on the first call, anywhere from 5:30 to 6:30 in the morning. And the first people on scene are usually the recording artist people. So they'll come in different shifts, depending on what their jobs are. So they'll come in groups of anywhere from 3 to 10. The dogs are pre-positioned at the entrance, and everybody comes in.
Search.
They stand in a single file line facing the dog teams about 6 feet apart. You know, everybody's kind of socially distanced. And then what we have them do is they stand facing the dog, nothing in their left hand, and the dog comes down and sniffs their left hand, takes about a second per person, And then, you know, when they're done, then they go about and do their work. The dogs, I think, are probably the most popular, I almost call them people, or the most popular individuals on the show. When people arrive, they can't wait to, you know, they automatically go to where they need to stand so they can get sniffed.
Oh, those are good.
That is so cute. You are such a sweet girl. Oh my goodness, I love you. What smart babies, so smart.
It's a great environment.
That is so crazy.
Can I hang with you guys tonight? I would like that.
They're beautiful.
What a great one. I mean, this is a great COVID test, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll come for this all the time.
Like, they're groupies. They're rock stars.
Yeah, they actually are. You know, everyone really, really likes them. They look forward to seeing the dogs. I think in addition just to providing the peace of mind that people are being screened for COVID and it's less invasive, and, you know, they thought they were going to have to be doing, you know, the invasive nasal screens. Just having the dogs around, you know, when the dogs aren't working, tour members could get to come up and give them a little bit of a scratch, and, you know, just big, you know, friendly dogs just reduce everybody's stress. So it's just kind of an added benefit of having the dogs on the team, I think.
I'm curious about the dogs on the tour bus. How does that work? Where do they sleep?
The dogs have a separate vehicle and their own driver. So when the handlers are done, they pass the dogs over to the driver. And then we have a panel van that's set up with two large cages, and we have dog beds in there. They basically have like their own private limo. So then we have a driver that just drives them overnight, then they get picked up by their handlers again.
Sounds like these dogs are getting the rock star treatment. Then again, they deserve it. They're able to detect COVID cases with a shocking degree of accuracy. Jerry and his team even have the ability to train the dogs to detect new variants of the virus. In fact, they can be trained to smell virtually any kind of pathogen. In my original reporting, I asked Biodetection Canine's chief scientific officer, Bill Schneider, about his early work as a plant guy.
I was a molecular virologist for the Department of Agriculture for 16 years, and I was developing all sorts of very complicated and sophisticated assays for detecting diseases. And during part of that process, I met a researcher named Tim Gottwald. He wanted to know if I was willing to compare some of the things we were doing to his canines. And I said, sure, fully well thinking that my very sophisticated machines would do much better, only to discover that the canines were much better than anything I could come up with. And that's the point where I sort of converted and stopped trying to do everything the hard way and started letting the dogs do things for us.
Since then, Schneider has expanded his research to human viruses. That's why the test center can train the dogs on COVID-19. But Dr. Schneider and his team have also stuck to the roots, so to speak. Recently, they've made progress studying one well-known plant species, cannabis, marijuana viruses. Here's Jerry Johnson again.
We've actually just signed a joint venture with the largest cannabis growing company in Jamaica that individuals with that company heard the podcast.
Jamaica, land of my people.
And apparently the cannabis industry worldwide lost about $1 billion worth of inventory to a couple different molds. It's fungus based. And we have two dogs that we're training to detect this fungus-based mold. We're using drones. So we send drones up, and the drones can go over, you know, thousands and thousands of acres pretty quickly. They can sense anomalies in the growth with, hey, there seems to be a problem here. These plants aren't as healthy as these. And then we take the dogs in kind of at the micro level, and then we can pinpoint and kind of go row by row, plant by plant, and look for look for the problems.
Johnson says they're also starting to train dogs to detect some of the viruses that affect wine grapes. So that means dogs could soon be protecting ganja, booze, country music, and heavy metal. I mean, these puppies are true patriots. And as Biodetection Canine has grown, so have the dogs under their care. You might remember one familiar character, the very focused Belgian Malinois in our original episode, Cooley.
This dog's probably from Hungary.
Hungary.
Yeah. And she's how old?
She's not over two, but I don't exactly have her information. Yeah.
The 24 months are yes. below.
Yeah. The 24 yeah. months are below.
That is the biggest tongue I've ever seen.
After seeing Cooley on one of her first days at school, of course we wanted to check in on her progress.
So my name is Sean Reed. I'm the director of training here for Biodetection Canine. And I've got Cooley with me today, who's been the star of the show. She's just excited over a ball. So when I brought her in here, I wasn't sure how settled she was going to be having the headphones hooked up and everything. So I brought her ball in to chew on. And so when I take it away from her, she's just excited to get it. Every time you bring her out of the kennel, you know, you have to tell her to go take a bathroom break. She just wants to go to work because that's where she has fun all the time. So it's just a pure excitement in her. And she's as happy as she could ever be.
It really does put like a smile on your face just to hear her. She's just so full of energy. Can you just explain a little bit what you guys have been doing with her?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first time you guys met Cooley is when we just met Cooley and we were doing a selection testing to see if she was going to be suitable as a detection dog. Of course, she passed all of her tests very well. Since then, we've started the implantation where we're teaching her what odors we want her to learn and learn to search for. She's been imprinted on the COVID virus or on a protein from the COVID virus. And then she's been searching people ever since then, getting her ready to go live and to work out in the field.
And Cooley's ready, all right. For her first assignment, she'll be sniffing palms for Omicron and other COVID variants backstage with another big name rock and roll band. We're not allowed to say who it is.
It's so funny to me, the idea of these dogs on tour.
Right. It's something I never imagined doing. I've worked dogs for a lot of years, mostly as an explosive detection handler and trainer. Worked a lot of events for a lot of different people and dignitaries. But never imagined I'd be one day part of a team putting COVID dogs on music tours. I don't think most people believe that they're COVID dogs. You're getting, I don't know how funny this is to everybody, but to me, when we would be out searching with dogs, a lot of people had questions if we were trying to trick them or not, if we were searching for other things, you know. So that's always kind of funny because people are nervous. We're like, just a COVID test, guys. And they think we're for a while, a lot of people thought we were pulling a leg, just trying to search for whatever, drugs or whatever it may be. And of course, y'all can't see her now, but she's up on the left.
Sounds like you have a pretty cool job to me. I'm jealous.
I can't complain. It's probably one of the best jobs in the world.
So if you're standing in line for a concert and you're asked to put out your hand for a dog to sniff, don't be afraid. The Strategic Puppy Reserve is slowly being deployed, one wet nose at a time. Thank you for listening to this subscriber-only edition of Revisionist History. And thank you for being a member of Pushkin Plus. Revisionist History is produced by Eloise Linton, Lee Mengistu, and Jacob Smith, with Anna Naim. Fact-checking by Amy Gaines. Our editor is Julia Barton. Our executive producer is Mia Lobel. Original scoring by Luis Guerra. Mastering by Jason Gambrell. Additional recording by Catherine Giraudot and Emily Rostack. And special thanks to the Pushkin crew. Heda Fain, Carly Migliori, Maya Koenig, Daniela Lacan, Maggie Taylor, Eric Sandler, Nicole Morano, and of course El Jefe, Jacob Weisberg. I'm Malcolm Gladwell.
One of the greatest songs ever written, like in the history of mankind.